If I were to ask you, you know, do you feel positive about tomorrow? And if your answer to the question was going to be yes, okay, that answer might depend on a number of things. For example, if you were sort of looking forward to tomorrow and expecting tomorrow to be good, that might well depend on what is going on today in your life. In the musical Annie sings this, "The sun will come out tomorrow, so you gotta hang on till tomorrow, come what way. Tomorrow, tomorrow, I love you. Tomorrow, you're always a day away." Annie is always looking forward to tomorrow because today is so rubbish, and therefore tomorrow couldn't possibly be worse than today. And maybe that's where you are tonight. I hope it's not, but it could be. And so you're looking forward to tomorrow to get past today. On the other hand, your positive feelings about tomorrow might depend on the plans you have for tomorrow. So maybe tomorrow you get to take that holiday you've been saving up for months and months, or maybe you change jobs, or maybe you take delivery of that new car that you've ordered, or maybe you're finally going to get a call up to that football team you've been kind of trying to persuade yourself you had a chance to plan for the last 5 years. I don't know, whatever it might be, okay? And it's coming up tomorrow, and you're really looking forward to tomorrow because of the plans that you have for it. Now, in his letter, James talks about people who are like that, who have a positive view of tomorrow because of their plans. Here's what he said. He said, "Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money." Now, what you have to understand is that for most people in the world of James's day, and certainly for most people who were believers and belonged to a local Christian church, they didn't have much choice about tomorrow. They were peasants or they were slaves, and their tomorrows were dependent on decisions that other people would take over which they had no control. But for the landed gentry, those who had come into inherited wealth, James is going to talk about them in the next chapter, chapter 5, so you can find out about them next Sunday night. Or for those who were in business, businessmen or businesswomen, they were in a different situation. And James refers to businessmen and businesswomen here in the last section of James chapter 4. And he refers to them and to the landed gentry in the next chapter because their wealth brought them options. They could make different decisions about tomorrow because of their wealth. So here James pictures some businessmen or women planning a trip looking to grow their business. Nothing unusual about that. In fact, right now, all over the UK, small businessmen and businesswomen are being encouraged to make plans for tomorrow, the tomorrow that is Brexit. Now, we're not getting into an argument about it, okay? Who's for and who's against and all the rest of it, okay? I'm just saying that if you look in the newspapers and on the news websites in the last couple of months, they've been talking about this. And actually, somebody came out with a statement last week that Northern Ireland small businesses need to get their act in gear because they're behind the rest of the UK. And, you know, when you think about it, this, on the surface of it, seems a perfectly reasonable thing to do. In fact, doesn't the livelihood of this businessman or this businesswoman, and to some extent the livelihood of all the rest of us too, depend on these business people making good decisions about tomorrow? Well, the problem is that there's always a problem about tomorrow. James says, "Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." And this is a hugely leveling statement on James's part. Because what James is saying here is that, okay, the peasants and the slaves, they have very little choice about tomorrow. Those decisions are made by other people and they have no influence over them. But now he's saying even these people with wealth and positions of authority and influence, actually, they're no better off because they don't know anything about tomorrow either. And although they might seem to have some options and available choices, actually, they have no idea if any of those things will work out. So the feelings of freedom that wealth creates and the arrogance that sometimes goes with it are a mirage. James says that human life is a mist. If you go out early on an autumn morning, very often the conditions are just right. In the early morning, especially if there's a river valley near your house, and you go for a walk in that valley, very often you'll find a curtain of mist has descended into the river valley following the water. And it's beautiful, and it's ethereal, and it's really photogenic, you know, and you want to take some photographs of it and bore your friends with them forever afterwards. But the reality is, once the sun comes up, the mist will be gone. And James says, that's what our life is like. It's like that mist. In fact, the word that James uses here for mist could also be translated vapor. And in the world of software production, when a company promises a new product which will enable the user to complete some amazing tasks that they can't do at the moment, but then time passes and there's no sign of the product coming to the market, that product is usually called vaporware. Vaporware. It promised a whole lot, but none of its promise was ever realized. And James is saying, what is your life? Your life is vaporware. It promises so much, but you cannot guarantee to deliver because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Now, to a degree, we all know this, all right? And not only do we all know it, but everybody who lived in James's day knew it. You can find some authors who are outside the scriptures, contemporary authors writing in the Greek and Roman culture of James's day, saying just exactly these things from a secular point of view. You cannot depend on tomorrow. Your life is like a mist. There it was. In the Old Testament, the person who gathered together the sayings that we call the Book of Proverbs, he said this, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring." And even Jesus, in his earthly ministry, referred to this too. In a famous parable he tells in Luke's Gospel chapter 12, he tells a parable about a farmer who had a windfall harvest. He wasn't expecting it. He hadn't really had it for years. He didn't really know why it happened. Maybe he just happened to plow the fields at the right time. Maybe he got better quality seed. Maybe he got the best kind of fertilizer. Whatever it was, he had no idea. But when he looked at his fields and harvest was coming, he realized that he was not going to be able to contain the crop. So he built bigger barns. And when the harvest came, he brought it all in. He stored it up. And he said to himself, "Hey, this is great. I'm not going to have to work for years. I don't need to plant my fields next year. I've got enough stored up here. I can take life easy." And then it says in Jesus' parable that God speaks to the farmer, and this is what he says. He says, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" Now, I have to admit that at times I feel sorry for this farmer, okay? Because given that set of circumstances, which one of us wouldn't have done exactly the same thing? If you get a windfall of some sort, and if you're wise and prudent, you'll put it away. You'll invest it in some way or another. You'll store it up in some way, and then you'll say to yourself, "Well, I don't need to work so hard for the next. I don't need to do overtime, and I don't need to worry about my mortgage, and we can have a really nice holiday next year." And you're thinking to yourself, "Whoa, this is amazing. Why was this so wrong?" Well, it turns out, according to James, it turns out that the reality of our lives, because of the reality of our lives, that our lives are a mist, that they are vaporware, that we cannot be sure about tomorrow, that reality can generate one of two opposite reactions, both of which are wrong. And this is according to James and his elder brother, Jesus. We've been saying all through this series in James that many of the insights that James has are to be found, first of all, in the ministry of his elder brother, Jesus. And this is another one of those insights that you can trace not just to James's letter, but also to the teaching of Jesus. So there are two possible ways we can react to this problem of tomorrow. And the first one is the problem of pride. See, the problem about this issue of tomorrow is we don't think that it really applies to us. Because we have it sussed, okay? We have money in the bank and we have a very stable family and we have a job that is secure till the day that we die. And we really, okay, fair enough, tomorrow's iffy and yes, my life's a mist and blah, blah, blah. But actually, the kind of thing James is talking about here, that's what happens to other people, doesn't really happen to me. And Harold Macmillan, who was Prime Minister a long time ago, Harold Macmillan was apparently on one occasion interviewed by a journalist and he was asked a question to which he gave an answer that you may well have heard before. It turns out, in actual fact, the story is completely apocryphal and he never said it, but it's a brilliant line anyway, so I'm going to quote it. So basically, the journalist was supposed to be speaking to Macmillan and said to him, look, could you explain to me what are the things that really divert a government program? You know, what is it that would really undermine your plans? And he was explaining